you with the correct amount.
D20 Radio, where gamers roll. www.d20radio.com.
Hello and welcome to Eberron Renewed, an actual play podcast set in the Eberron campaign setting. I am your game master, Eric.
I'm Philip.
I'm Randy.
I'm Jeff.
Welcome to another episode. Gentlemen, what happened last time?
We almost went home after a very successful evening.
Yes, we had a very successful abduction and delivery.
Erin was able to hide whatever just absolute decline she's been dealing with in prison really well to make us feel like she's fine.
Yep. Married couple reunited. Everything was wonderful. We were going for a nice rest, visiting Hob. And then all of a sudden, kaboom.
Eris and Milo were all like, I don't think we should not. We should stay together. Guys, we should stay together tonight. Hob was like, I guess that's fine. And then Eris decided to get us into a fight as soon as she had backup.
What a generous framing of the last episode.
That's how I remember it.
And it's just sad that our listeners can't see the expressions on our faces sometimes, like Philip at this point.
So yeah, we rolled initiative for you all to fight this spirit of preservation that works for some greater devils who was trying to apprehend and quote unquote punish Norsen Milhatch. And yeah. So the first slot goes to the NPC, and given that Eris was doing the talking and the back and forth in the first attack, we'll head her way. So,
sure.
What are your defenses, Eris?
Insufficient. I have one of each.
Okay, so one black. Do you have any talents or anything that cause an upgrade on melee checks? I don't think you do, I just want to double check. Okay, so four yellow, two purple, one red. Would you like to flip a story point to upgrade the difficulty of the check?
Four yellow, purple, one red. Oh, man. Sure. Okay. Flip a story point for all the good that will do.
Change it to one red, one purple, one black. Roll. Two success, one advantage.
It's remarkably...
Yeah. What a letdown.
Success, considering what he just rolled.
Okay. So the damage from that is going to be 11 base damage, no pierce or anything. So
okay.
He doesn't have enough to activate any of his cool stuff on it. So he swings the sword with his left hand out towards Eris, and the blade extends with chains connecting each segment of the blade as it whips around and slashes at your midsection, Eris. And you can feel both the cutting bite of the blade as well as the residual burning heat of the blade.
Yep. Sure can. Feel it real good.
And then he is going to pivot and move over to Hob, because Hob also seems to be a big threat on the field.
No, he's just a big guy on the field.
What is your melee defense, Hob?
Three.
Boy. Four yellow, two purple, three black is the pool.
Okay.
Wash. Complete wash. Of
wow. Remarkable.
I wish I could say that had anything to do with me.
And that was both of his checks. So yeah, Hob, how does Hob avoid taking damage from this swing?
I ducks down to check on Eris. It goes over the top.
Yeah, I think maybe can he just miss? Or is he too good for that?
No, yeah.
Because I don't think, Hob is not agile. Hob didn't dodge that, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe he's new in his powers or something and he's a little unsure of himself, yeah.
This creature has lived for tens of thousands of years. How dare you?
But the body he's currently inhabiting is...
Older than the city upon which this city stands.
The incompetent cat burglar.
Okay, PC slot. Randy expressed a desire to go first to cast barrier.
Yes. Go for it, man. Milo says, would it be a good or a bad idea to possibly let Verla know what's going on? We're going to have to explain ourselves at some point, if we live.
Really don't. Sure.
You have the...
I just got stabbed.
That could be something that happens on Eris's turn if Eris wants to do it, but
yeah,
reaching out and trying to get an NPC ally to come assist is not a free action to be done whenever.
No, Milo's just throwing it out there. We're going to cast Barrier. I would like to add Defense.
Okay, so that... and you want to do an additional target as well?
Yes.
So that would make it a...
Three purple, I think.
Four purple, friendo.
Four.
It starts off as a easy check.
Yes,
one. Add Defense is plus two. Additional target is plus one.
Oh, it is plus two, yep.
I know.
How could I doubt you? So four purple.
How you feeling, Randy?
How many story points do we got?
Two.
Y'all mind if I flip one to get a boost?
Go for it.
Yours to use.
Ah, flip it back. Turn one of the purples into a red.
That's not kind.
I gave you a story point.
All right. So I got four yellow, a green, a blue boost, and one red and three purple. Here
Sounds
we go.
Cool.
Send it. Okay.
Gone. One failure. No barrier. Three advantages and a triumph.
Okay. So no barrier on anyone.
Nope.
That magic fizzles. And it, like, Randy, Milo can set, like, there's a lot of magical energy emanating off of this thing now that it's gone into, like, combat mode.
Right.
And so, yeah, magic is acting all kinds of wonky around this thing. And so that can be in your head your explanation for why the barrier didn't stick.
Yes.
Three advantages and a triumph. I'm going to take that story point back, by the way. Because you had an upgrade on your first check from your initiative roll. So I didn't need to flip a story point.
Okay. Yep. Two of those advantages, can I just keep the strain?
Two of those advantages just to offset the strain? Sure.
Yeah. And so one advantage left and a triumph. Pass a boost with the other advantage.
Sure.
And triumph. I'm open for suggestions.
This would be how you would alert Verla.
That was my exact thinking was Verla is not sleeping until she finds the serial killer. And so
she's been following us,
not following you necessarily, but like is in the vicinity of the crime.
Well, she has been following us though.
Well, yes, but you all rolled really well in your stealth to where she couldn't have been following you this particular instance. So.
Oh, don't you use that against us.
And now by way of a triumph, we would like to say she's picked up our trail again when Eris made a sudden and very Fair illegal enough. Traffic maneuver.
Fair enough. So yeah,
there we go.
If you want to use your time to say that Verla is on the scene, sure.
That sounds good to me.
Okay, I'm just giving you all a heads up. The scene is not unambiguous right now. Like, right. If that makes sense.
She may be on the scene already because they're already out looking for us.
Sure.
She's so smart though. She's gonna realize. Oh, another fire thing. Perhaps like she's bright.
So maybe we should use it for something else.
It's definitely not any of us.
No,
that chained Norse into the ground.
No, we don't have that sort of magic.
So what I can do? Let me ask you this: are you wanting Verla here for the alibi and the clarity of what's going on, or do you also want Verla here to be an assistant in the combat encounter?
I was going to say I want part of the triumph to be that Verla stays out of it.
Yes. Yeah. Just the alibi and the clarity of what's going on.
Like, we know why Milo would call her.
Has to bring is so insignificant that it's not going to make a difference here.
Right.
Yeah, Verla's
slipping away with a hand crossbow.
Wanted to make sure.
Sure.
Okay, so yeah. Whether or not you all clock it and notice it, but Verla is watching the altercation. And we have a boost being passed to the next PC slot. Who would like to go? Eris, Hob.
I'd like to before Hob engages, because... So, am I correct in presuming that since this thing reached out with a chain to attack us, we are not yet engaged, so I have...
Correct.
...an opportunity to act at short range?
Yeah, attack from short range.
Cool. Then I would like to make an attack before. I am going to spend and then take back a story point to activate my heroic ability and activate the auto fire aspect of Fletcher. And so Eris cranks the Fletcher. I was going to use my Flechette thing, but it's all Bernie and Eris is not stupid. This thing's already on fire. Eris channels her terror into Snark and says, I do not know what vocal cords you were using to scream. And then cranks the lever on the Fletcher and goes inside, deeply angered that Norsen is going to see her use the auto fire mechanism. She copied his design.
All right. I do have some things for the difficulty before you roll anything.
Oh, good.
I mean, did you expect this thing to not have adversary ranks?
I'm just
adversary two, so range defense one.
Results. So adversary two would result in one red, one purple here?
Yes.
Okay.
And then add a black.
And add a black. And I'm adding and purple because I'm using the auto fire.
Okay. And I'll give you all a story point back, make it two red and a black.
Sure you will. Sure you will. That's so
I am a generous and benevolent
good of you.
GM.
I know that I should know this by now, but are we considered engaged with each other if we're all in the boat together? I have a thing that helps if I'm engaged with an ally, but I can't imagine a point where I'm grappling one of them. So we need to
I assume we're engaged because we all climbed out of the boat and we've been standing together and we really haven't had the opportunity to spread out.
Okay.
All.
Then so you get a boost.
We're effectively flat. Oh, really? Cool.
Yeah. I have a thing.
So many boosts on this check.
I've had a thing for 1,000 years, but we're so rarely actually engaged with each other since you guys shoot and I punch.
Yeah. Okay. So Eris is... There's so many boosts. Okay. So I've got 3 yellow and 1 green. I've got 1 boost from the Fletcher being accurate. I've got 2 boosts from the goggles. I've got 1 boost from Amy. I've got 1 boost from Hob for a total of 5. And then 2 red, 1 purple, 1 black. And here we go.
Nice.
3 success and 1 triumph.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm doing 12 damage pierce 2.
Okay.
And I am debating whether to crit or hit him again with the triumph. So those are the 2 things I can really do here. I can use it to trigger the auto fire, or I can use it to impose a critical injury on him.
What is auto fire? They just the same damage again?
Auto fire just, I'm sorry, Eric, is auto fire, he just takes the hit again?
Like my second punch?
I think it's just take the damage again, but let me confirm.
Yeah, sorry, I should know that by now.
No, you're good.
Because it's slightly different than linked, and I can never remember which the distinction is between.
Did you increase the difficulty by 1?
I did.
For the auto fire? Okay.
Yeah.
If the attack hits, the attack can trigger auto fire by spending 2 advantage or triumph. Auto fire can trigger multiple times. Each time the attacker triggers auto fire, it deals an additional hit to the target. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So it just hits again.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to do that because I think I'm worried about this fight going, and I think we're going to manage through in the sense of us dying, not in the sense of time. So, yeah, I will use the triumph to trigger the auto fire function of the Fletcher, and so he will take another 12 plus 2.
Cool. Also, fun auto fire rule. Auto fire weapons could also activate 1 critical injury for each hit generated on the attack per the normal rule. So if you were to roll your crit rating
advantage.
Yeah. Or if you, I mean, if you were to have rolled 2 advantage and a triumph, you could have activated auto fire with 2 advantage and just crit twice.
Cool.
Yikes. Okay.
Wouldn't need to have 2 advantage for each crit.
According to this, because you're duplicating the same hit.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I might be misreading the rules.
Well, that makes sense because I got. That's interesting. Anyway, cool. That's good. If it comes up, we'll have more conversations about that because that sounds awesome. Anyway, Eris puts a couple of bolts just square into this guy's whatever his body is made of.
Yeah, as the Fletcher fires into this figure, you see, like, as it tears through the leather armor, like, just orange light glow out from underneath the leathers. Hob.
Man, so I'm sure the assembled group remembers the last time Hob attacked something that hurt him back when he hit it. It was unbelievably bad. And he assumes the fire will do the same thing. I don't know what to do. Are there spots that are not on fire? Like, is he wearing some sort of armor that is not aflame?
Yeah, his leather armor isn't on fire. Yeah.
Okay, I knew we mentioned leather armor earlier, but I didn't know if we were making jokes, you know.
Yeah.
Then I guess I'm going to run at him and try to punch him in the chest, something.
Okay.
Stop his heart a little, maybe. I don't know. I am going to do all the things for double or nothing, just because I have a feeling this guy's got a lot to give.
So he's adversary 2, so the 2 purple become 2 red, and he has melee defense 3, so 3 black.
3 black, and then I increase the difficulty means add 1 more purple, correct?
Yes.
For the double or nothing. Okay, and then remind me again how I punch 4 and 1. Yeah.
Okay.
This sucks. This is 4 yellow, 1 green, 2 red, 1 purple, and 3 black. Oh, I do get a boost for Ring Fighter, I think. Let me pull that one up. Yeah, I get a boost for Ring Fighter, so that's fun. There's no boost on the table, are there?
Aris, did you use the one from Milo?
I didn't know there was one from Milo.
Yeah, Milo had one extra. Yep, one boost.
Okay, I think.
Did you aim?
He maneuvered, so it cost him 2 strain.
Yeah, I know. I already did maneuver, and I used 2 strain to do the thing, so I think I'm like... Wait, did you say you did or do not have a boost? I'm so sorry. I was reading another talent.
There is one.
Okay,
one
I'm going to take it then. All right, I'm just going to roll this, and we're going to see what happens. I think that's how the game works, right? Yes.
That's usually...
That's how it's quote-unquote fun. All right. So Hob is just going to rush at and kind of like double heels of his hands into this thing's chest to knock it back some if he can. Okay.
Nice. Jesus. That's nice. Oh, and you doubled or nothinged it.
Balls. I did. I doubled or nothinged the crap out of that thing. Now, what I didn't do, unfortunately, that I should have was leaping attack. And I thought about it, but I don't want to... If it hit this well with leaping attack, it would have been like 36 damage. Okay. So, doubling advantage means... So
we've got four successes and 6 advantage for the listeners.
Okay, so that's 8 successes and 12 advantages is what that comes out to.
Yeah. Wow. So,
yes.
8 success. What's your base damage?
God, what is my base damage? 7?
That sounds right.
Because my brawl is 4, or my brawn is 5, and my punches give me... Oh, no, it's 11. My base damage is 11, because it's brawn plus the cestus damage, right? So that's 11 plus 8 successes.
19.
So that's 19.
No pierce or anything?
I neither pierce nor breach.
One.
I do pierce.
Pierce one. Yep.
Oh, you're
so
right.
So 19, pierce one.
And let's go ahead and use 2 of my 12 advantage to just do that twice, because why not?
Okay.
Now what, guys? Shall we crit a few times?
What's the crit rating on your 3?
3.
So you have 10 left. So you could, and Cestus have vicious 2. So you could crit with a plus 50.
What do you want to do, guys?
That's pretty good.
The problem is when you crit with a plus 50 and you get a 61. And you're like, okay, I just used 10 advantage to nothing burger this. Not that that's 61 is nothing. True. I know. But it could just be like, you know, stinging headache. And he just loses his ability to maneuver or something. I don't know. I mean, if you guys want to go nuts, I can't heal with advantage. I could, let's just see what happens to this guy. You know, we don't know what happens when something punches a bones on fire. Maybe it is crazy. So let's crit with the final 10 advantage. I should be stupid with it.
Okay.
Is that insane?
Roll.
No one's stopping me. So
you want to roll the D100, Jeff?
Yeah, I do. And then do I just click the pluses down here?
I've had issues with. I'll just do that manually in my head when I'm looking at the table. So just add the 10 and the 100, the 2 dice, and then roll it. And yeah, don't hit roll crit. Just hit roll dice.
How's he look after those 2 punches I gave him, though? Just wondering.
Not happy.
Not good.
Okay, like, fair enough. I guess that's what I should have expected. All right, I'm rolling for a big crit, and that's a 92 plus 50.
Is that 140?
It's 142.
142. Right. Oh, no.
And you're also the last initiative slot, so...
No. We know this guy. Oh, no.
How to play this?
I cannot believe that just happened. What is 142? Is that death? 150 is death, right?
The end is nigh, where you die after the end of the last initiative slot unless the critical injury is healed.
That's 142?
Yes.
Well...
What? Demon thing. Like... Nope.
Yeah, but it sounded like he was trying to do something kind of maybe good.
No, so,
other than killing.
No, not what it is.
No, that
I have like, Aris has currently no regrets about this decision making, and she's thrilled to watch Hob tear this thing in half.
Give it about 30 seconds.
I just need dramatic irony.
Hob, are you okay with me narrating how this plays out, or would you describe? Okay,
absolutely. I just can't believe. I've never done such a dumb big swing like this. And that, I mean, I have, but not out of nowhere.
So, comic book panel view kind of thing of like the profile view of Hob rushing up and grabbing this figure on the shoulder and bringing one fist back and just uppercutting into the sternum. And Hob, you feel like very little resistance as your arm, you feel your hand feel the night air again as your arm goes straight through the chest of this figure, them kind of resting on your forearm, and you feel the burning on your forearm of the like molten blood that's dripping down as it begins to cool. And then you look up and you see the face of Ace staring you in the eyes with fear and confusion as the flaming skull is gone. And he just looks at you like, I wanted to help. And then his head lolls over.
Jeff has left the building.
Do we want to take a couple minutes before we continue with the role playing? Jeff has fallen out of the frame, so
I'm not upset. I want to be clear. I am not upset with anything but myself for losing sight of everything we talked about when I had an opportunity to do something stupid and fun. I'm so... Oh my god.
It was awesome.
I mean, I...
How wonderfully cinematic that ended up, though. That's... Man.
I know better!
And just because I know all of the elements going on in the scene, this isn't... I mean, it's going to pour salt, but you hear a voice scream, no, as Hob, you, from above, feel a figure land on you, and Eris and Milo, you recognize Kath's armor as Kath tries Kath? To pull... Yeah.
Interesting. I think Kath caring about Ace is new information that I am absorbing. Sana caring about Ace.
And Kath pulls Ace's body off of Hob's arm and just, what did you do?
I mean, Hob's not saying anything. I don't know. Oh my god, I'm so mad!
What's the current status of the chain?
The chain has disappeared. Milhatch is beginning to get his bearings.
Eris puts the Fletcher on Milhatch and says, if you move, then the tiny little thing keeping me from killing you will be over. So stay put.
I mean, Hob screams at Milo to help if he can. I don't know if there's help to be done.
Eris just takes a couple paces forward to keep Milhatch covered because she cannot deal with what's happening right now.
Milo rushes over to try to do a medicine check on Ace.
Oof.
Or is it just blatantly obvious?
I mean, that part is blatantly obvious. I'm just trying to think of what would happen if Milo got within reach of Kath. I mean, Milo, from a distance, you can tell that, like, yeah, you saw what happened. Like, Hob literally punched through this person's chest, like, short of resurrection magic. Yeah.
So instead, Milo rushes up to Hob and just lays a hand on his back.
Hob shoves him off. Hob's not interested in being comforted right now. Yeah. Not violently, but...
You all see another sky skiff lower as Virla hops out and... doesn't run over, but definitely approaches the scene looking at Milo. You all should go. And Virla, pulling out a pair of cuffs, approaches Milhatch and kind of gestures at Eris to, like, I'm here to help kind of thing as she reaches down to begin cuffing Milhatch.
There's a significant tense moment, and then Eris lowers the muzzle and then kicks Milhatch as hard as she can in just impotent rage.
Milhatch winces and kind of groans and looks up at Virla. You're going to let her do that to me, officer? And Virla just says, you're lucky I don't let her pull the trigger. And she yanks Milhatch up.
Milo walks over to Eris, and I guess we should go. I don't think there's anything else we can do here.
We just leave Kath like this?
Kath. Oh, that's probably not good either. Oh my.
Jeff, what's Hob doing?
Hob is sitting on the ground trying to think of... I mean, one thing he's doing is constantly, you know, that justifying in his head that he was in a fight. And that's how this was not a, I don't know. He's in his own brain. He's not talking.
Yeah.
If someone talks to him, if someone says something to him, I know Kath asked, what did you do? But I don't think he thought that was actually expecting an answer. He would respond, but he's not. He's trying to make himself understand that what he did was, he didn't just attack Ace with malice is what he's trying to remind himself.
Yeah.
And he didn't just kill Ace. He just got in a fight, and Ace happened to be inside that thing.
What is Kath? I mean, is Kath, like, sobbing?
I was about to describe. I mean, Kath is sobbing, but, it, like, after a moment of, like, holding Ace's body, Kath is starting to scoop Ace up and stand up with him in the... just carry his body. And unless anybody's going to say anything or try to stop her, she shoots you all up. Incendiary glance, and then turns to go leave.
Kath, we have the skiff. You don't have to carry.
I got it.
Hob is going to... I think Hob's just going to say, you know, Kath, it was a fight. I couldn't have known. I'm sorry. And then let her go if she wants to go.
You attacked us. You tried to kill me.
Kath looks back at that. It's like, no, you interfered. He had it under control. He was fine. He was
obviously
taking
not,
care of
because
it.
Because Ace wouldn't have attacked me with a sword. That was not in control. I don't know what you got him into. Ace wouldn't have done that.
But at that.
She wasn't that.
At that, you see the anger really boil up in Kath's eyes. And he came to me. He told me what he was doing. That he was trying to help take care of all the people that are destroying the city. All the enemies that you all have made. All the people that could have come after you. Because he wanted to help. He wanted to use these powers that he got in a really dumb deal to do some kind of good.
Right, and when he came to us like that, we got him a job as a waiter. We didn't say, sure, let's go.
He wanted to be more than that.
And you know what? He could have been. This is not more than that. That's not more.
I didn't get him caught up in anything. All I did was try to be there and help him.
You didn't try to stop him. You didn't tell us. You're not supposed to have your back when your friend's being an idiot. Just stop him. Keep him out of danger.
It's a good speech. Maybe you can give the eulogy.
Frack you.
Harris walks off.
As does Kath.
With Ace.
Yeah.
Verla doesn't try to stop her.
Verla knows where to find Kath. Right. So, Verla, sorry about the suspicion. And I'm sorry.
What time is it? It's
5 in the morning.
So crazy early, right? That's right. Okay.
I'm sorry, Milo.
Milo just kind of nods.
I'll need it for, you know what? Never mind. I might reach out to you all in the next couple days, but I'm going to take him back to where he belongs. She says, gesturing to Milhatch in her skiff.
I think Hobbs says something, just, I'm going to go. I'll be at the foresails when it opens to tell Sana and Olsen what happened here. And then he starts to walk off.
I imagine after this, I can petition to have the situation will have happened with Milhatch again. So shouldn't need to worry about that anymore. But sorry. I'm sorry I didn't intervene when I saw what was happening. I'll let y'all go. Verla walks to her skiff.
Harris is already aboard, Tasha.
Milo gets on board also.
Hobbs walking.
Yeah, Hobbs walking. Yeah, I think we know each other well enough to know that you don't offer him a ride.
Yeah, no.
Is Hobbs going back to Savia's or to Highwall?
Hobbs doesn't know where he's going.
Okay, fair.
He's not out like gonna go look for trouble or to drown his sorrows. He just wanted to get away from the spot he killed Ace at and didn't want to be around his friends right now.
Yeah, so, I get that. Fair.
I mean,
okay.
Yes, and if you could just drop me in the at the back of my place at the top where the balcony is by my room, please.
You're going back to your house?
It's where I feel comfortable. I have wards in place.
Someone shows up at your house. We're miles away.
Well, I guess take me to Savia's.
We're going to Highwall because we're so close to the fracking end of this thing. Why is that changing?
I don't know. My frame of mind is not in a good place. It hasn't been in a long time, and now things are just worse.
Right, Aris, so keep your frame of mind in a bad Aris, place and put your body in a better place.
Take me wherever you wish.
Fine. There's flies.
That line. Put your body in a better place.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, Hob, you're able to walk the early morning streets, especially since you're exiting the warehouse district. You see a lot of people showing up for work early, getting ready to start the day. A lot of people, yeah, clearly heading out to grab some calf, some towel before they head to work.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I think Hob might actually duck in and get some calf just to see if some stimulation might clear the fog out of his head.
Okay,
someplace that has some. I mean, nothing, you know.
Yeah,
pops in. He wants a big cup of it. He doesn't know how much to drink because he doesn't really drink it.
You walk into this, like, hole-in-the-wall, bodega-esque spot that obviously serves calf, and you see a minotaur behind the counter. He's like, hey, new face. Long face. You okay, friend?
Yeah, I could just use some. A little tired.
Yeah. How you take it?
I'm new to it. I hear it's acquired, so palatable?
All right. I'll dress it up for you.
Thanks.
He turns around, and you see him put a couple pumps of a couple something in it, and
right.
He hands you back a warm cup with a light beige liquid in it, steaming. And here you go. Hope it helps.
If this is a place that has some place to sit, I think Hob goes and he sits down. And there's not really, I assume, I don't know enough about it. I really should know more by now. There's not really absolution in the blood of Vol. Because if you are your own guidestone, then what you did was fine. But I think he meditates on some of the just the ideas of honor and, you know, responsibility and stuff that he learned when he was studying at the monastery, just the ideas of defense, of protection, the things that he learned, that honorable kind of stuff that went awry today, but I don't know.
No, love that.
And probably does a bit of crying. He didn't love Ace, but he sure didn't want to kill the guy.
Yeah, for sure.
I like to think that it was implicit that he didn't dislike Ace, but well, who knows, apparently.
Yeah.
So he has a seat and does that and just kind of contemplates what happened.
Yeah. And probably the internal struggle that Hob feels as he meditates on what he learned is, obviously divinity lies within. And so, you know, somebody was seeking to harm you and your friends and you had to defend that. But on the inverse, a big tenet of the Blood of Wool is stronger together, like your family, your community, the people around you are where your true power lies. And so while Ace may not have been in the center of the circle, probably tangentially, he resided within that communal circle at the very least. So there is that, that may be what's feeling a bit of the sense of loss for Hob, is that he removed an element of his circle. Not intentionally, but
of course. You don't gotta tell me that. I'll be singing that song all day tomorrow at the four sales.
And yeah, as you're sitting there and you're contemplating on this sense of stronger together in community, it being early hours of the morning, the thrum of the background noise of a Sharn that's waking up to the day proper, you hear this minotaur as people enter to get their morning calf or towel or sandwiches, food, things like that. The reason he was able to immediately clock you as a new face is this guy knows every name of every person and their order as they walk through the door. Seems like this corner shop is a big part of the lifeblood of this neighborhood. And I don't know, there might be something in that for Hob. Maybe not, but yeah. Eris, Milo, anything before?
Eris drops Milo. I think Eris offers to drop Milo at the Four Sails or at the Soaring Spur, or where, I don't know, where is their breakfast? Where is their breakfast available? Like, Eris will take Milo to whatever place there is breakfast.
Remember, Four Sails did a like soft launch just to catch the wave of the festival, so they're not fully operational yet. So probably Soaring Spirits.
Eris assumes we can walk into the Four Sails.
Yes,
whenever
they may not have a breakfast menu up and running yet. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Then Eris drops Milo off at the Soaring Spirits, and then Eris leaves. Eris goes back to leaves Milo there and goes back to the cauldron because she's gonna yell at Milo about magic again. Otherwise. And so she goes back to the cauldron and just crosses the cauldron. She drops leaves the Fletcher on Tasha. She drops the coat, drops the goggles, drops all the various accoutrements, and climbs into Olive's bed because she just needs to not think about this right now and just be close to someone.
Yeah. As you climb in, it stirs Olive enough to just roll over and place a hand on Eris, and she dozes back to sleep. Just a reflective gesture.
Into the Soaring Spirits. Do they have rooms here?
No, this is just
right.
I mean, Highwalls does not have, nobody comes to Sharn to stay in Highwalls. Highwalls does not have an inn. It's a refugee camp that is on the up and up. So yeah. So Yorlin sees Milo walk in and just not even giving himself an opportunity to read the tone of the room. It's like, hey Milo, morning. What can I get for you?
Whatever, just give me some eggs and some bacon, please, and a cup of calf, and I'll sit back over here.
Okay. Yeah, we can whip that right up for you. And yeah, it's pretty dead in here. You get the sense that they just opened the doors for breakfast service. And yeah, Yorlin, after a few moments, brings the calf over. And what's going on, Milo?
I'm extremely tired. Didn't rest last night. Just need to get a bit of breakfast. I might even doze off for all I know.
And Yorlin looks at Milo and regards him for a second and takes the coffee off of the table, like pulls it back. He's like, follow me. And does Milo follow?
Yeah, Milo gets up.
It's a trap.
Where are we going?
Says Lord. For the clan and stabs Milo. No.
He's secretly Belashira.
He opens the door into the kitchen and you see Grumly, the dwarf cook back there, kind of look up and see you and Yorlin walk through the door, and Yorlin kind of gives a placating gesture. I have a space back here that could probably actually serve up what you're seeking. And he opens a door at the back of the kitchen. And you see, it is a storage closet. Like, there are boxes and things like that. But there's also a small single bed up against one of the walls. There's a lot of nights where I'm up late doing the books and trying to, you know, keep this place soaring. And it's just too long of a time to get home. So I crash here. But why don't you go lay your head down for a bit, Milo, and you can come out whenever you're ready.
Many thanks to you. I certainly appreciate it.
I'll tell him to, like, make do, but you might get disturbed by Grumly getting some stuff, but he'll be quiet.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, and he shuts the door behind you. Okay, so the only one not sleeping now is Hob. So, Hob, you finish your calf. What now?
I don't think it helped much. I think it tasted fine, but I don't think it helped much as far as clearing the fog in his head. Because he's certainly not tired. Like, he's adrenaline to all the hell.
It's a bit on the nose, but I'll go ahead and just lean into it. You detected hints of, like, stone fruit, which would have been, like, a common sweetening, like, food from where you're from. So that was probably an intentional choice on the Minotaur's part to try and give the Goliath something familiar a little bit. So
nice.
There was a bit of familiarity in the flavor profile.
Okay. So it was comforting, a little comforting in that regard then. I think he gets up and puts some coin. He's got something on him. He keeps it in his wrist strap on the counter as a thank you for the nod to his home. And
thanks, Rick. What's your name?
Call me Hob around here. Halfling nice name. To meet you. Bit of a joke.
Please be super literal and call him Hob around here.
Nice to meet you, Hob.
Yeah, you're sorry.
Auric.
I knew an Auric once.
Not that common of a name.
Betrayed me, actually. And
I hope I can outshine my namesake in your mind.
I'm sure. Well, thank you again. And
of course.
I'll probably see you
anytime.
I think I will. Thank you.
And what time does he expect? I mean, he would know what time to expect Sana showing up. He just does not want to tell the story twice. He wants to get them both there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, given the fact that they are primarily doing lunch and dinner right now, probably you have a few more hours before Sana would realistically be at the Four Sails.
Okay. Is there any God?
Is there any god? There are many, many gods, in fact. Yeah,
I don't know if Hob...
A plethora.
See, so Jeff's thing is now Hob is going to find out who gave Ace that bike. Like, that's Hob's thing. But I don't think he would jump on it this quickly. But he's also not going to go to... Hob has a couple hours to burn, and Jeff doesn't know what to do with him. My brain's all messed up, guys. Because, he's not going to go lay down. If you want to roll on a random table, Hob deserves it.
Hob... Like, Hob/Jeff does have a lead on figuring out more about this entity, because you notice some similar talking points from somebody that Hob knows.
Yeah.
And demon hunters keep long hours, so...
How did... Was I given a means of contact for Dorla?
But weird hours. Oh, absolutely. Hours.
Yeah.
Like, there's windows. Yeah.
I guess it's not a means of contact, like, a way to reach her. Was I given a means of semi-immediate contact?
Really? Yeah. You know where she's staying while she's in town.
Oh, she is still in town. That's what I couldn't remember. Yeah. Okay, wonderful.
Yeah.
I got time to kill. I guess I go see if she's where she's at. Okay. I guess she is where she's at. She's just where I expect her.
She is always where she's at.
No stopping that.
A demon hunter is never late, Faganoth.
Did you come up with that?
Yeah. Straight off the dome. So, yeah, you arrive at the inn that Dorla had told you that she was staying at. And the proprietor tells you, like, head up, what room? And his Hob gives it a knock. After a couple moments, the door opens and you see Dorla, not in her full armaments, very much in kind of casual clothes that she would just be in her room in. And you could detect not so much sleep in her eyes that you woke her up, but she's still definitely in the process of getting going. And she, Hob, I didn't come in. And she opens the door.
Yeah, I think Hob walks in and goes, I think I killed... No, I don't think I did. I got in a fight with a demon servant tonight, and when I finished the fight, I had killed a friend of mine. Can we sit down and talk?
Yeah, that sounds like a... Yeah. Do you want anything? We can go downstairs if you want something to drink, or we can just talk here.
I think Hob has already, like... When he said it out loud, his knees went from under him and he is sitting.
Dorla.
He sat down and then asked, can we sit down and talk?
Yeah. So yeah, there's a chair next to a desk in the room, and then Dorla sits on her bed across from Hob. And you fought a demon.
I don't know. No, not a demon. Because, like, that's not a thing. No, let me try again.
This is an eyebrow at Hob.
If I had fought a demon, I wouldn't be here, right? I'm still learning this stuff. But, okay, I'm not learning this stuff. I know what you told me previously.
Tell me your story.
Yeah, he says, the highlights being we saw a guy engulfed in flames. He said he worked for... this is Jeff remembering as best he can. He said he worked for the big demons and he was trying to stop someone under the city.
Very important distinction. He worked for the greater devils.
That's right. I probably did remember that.
Western theology, devils and demons, mix and match all you want. But in Eberron, very important distinction.
The greater devils.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Then yes, Hob uses the correct term. At least devils. He gets the distinction of devil and demon.
Yeah.
He may have said the big devils.
Yeah.
When he died and the flames left, it was our friend that was left behind. I am not joining your cause yet, but when we find out who this one was, I'm on board for whatever happens. So how do we find out who it was?
Did the figure that you fought before they turned back into your friend, did they give you a name or a title of any kind?
Just pronouns. That's all we got. We got a lot of hers and hims.
Am I wrong? I don't feel like I'm wrong about that one.
I think you're right.
They refer to themselves as a spirit of preservation.
Okay, great. God, now I feel even worse because, like, I was reading my talent list when he said that, I bet. Trying to find how to really knock him back. Yes, so I relay that information.
He referred to himself as a spirit of preservation.
Dorla stands up and walks over to her desk, and you see a few tomes and books sitting on it, and she shuffles through them and pulls one out and returns to her bed and flips through it. And now, we don't really concern ourselves with devils that much, but they are relevant oftentimes because, as odd as it sounds, in the war against the dormant overlords, oftentimes devils can be allies. The spirit of preservation. All of the devilish spirits are ancient entities that the devils control. And if a overlord's influence begins to interfere with a devil's purpose, they will oftentimes unleash a spirit to remove elements that are empowering an overlord. Overlords gain power based on their domain being active where they slumber. So a overlord of war, if a great battle were to take place where they lay dormant, they would gain power from that. Did he speak to what he was attempting to do in the city?
I think at this point, Hob might kind of relay the reason we interfered at all. Like, he hadn't said that. He was just talking about the fight. He's like, here's what I know about what he's been doing in the city. I explained the previous murders and who Norsen was, and like, that's the person he was with at this time, like, not a good man this time. And Hob is starting to get really concerned that, not really concerned, but Hob is starting to realize there's a chance that we were on the same side and just we didn't like the way that he was dealing with it, which is not something we've loved before either. But anyway,
Dorla nods as Hob relays what this entity had been up to and what they were doing and what they specifically spoke about, which was unchecked ardor being something that Eris stank of, but it was not interested in killing Eris.
It's difficult for me to imagine Hob saying anything about, now that he knows it's potentially an overlord that he was talking about, involving Eris in that part of the conversation.
Fair enough. So he just mentioned unchecked ardor being a problem.
Yeah. He locks that away to think about and discuss with Eris, perhaps, but he's not saying it to Dorla.
Dorla hops up and grabs another book off of her desk. And when she gets halfway across the room, she stops and looks back and just scoops all the books up off her desk and plops them on the bed next to her.
Wonderful.
And sits down and flips to a page. And so the reason that I have been here for so long and the reason that my tribe has been interested in this city is because there is documents that an overlord resides under the city named Sor Akhtash, which is the overlord of ardor, unbridled passion, enthusiasm, or innovation.
Well, sure. Hob thinks. Innovation. So would you spell Sor Akhtash?
S-O-R space A-H-T-A-S-H-K.
Well, that's not what I had.
Well, I was way off.
All right. Got it. Sor Akhtash.
So in my professional and educated opinion, it seems like There was a devil, or multiple devils, that had an interest in this city, specifically in devils deal in contracts and offers and fulfilling the needs and desires of people. But if there was a great wave of innovation and invention amongst the greater minds of the city, then perhaps people could be provided for without needing to rely on devils and their contracts. So I could see a devil being interested in stymieing the wave of innovation happening in the city. So unleashing a spirit of preservation to preserve the status quo. But spirits cannot operate independently. They need a host to operate within the city. It sounds like your friend was operating as the host for this spirit.
That is the impression that I am under, have been under for some time.
It would seem like it depends on the devil's intention with the spirit. Devils used to utilize corpses they would wait for somebody to die and then a spirit would possess the body. But the spirits lack judgment, nuance, good decision-making. They are just spirits of a singular mindset. So hosts allow for that. The mind of the spirit and the host become one. So all this to say that whatever actions the spirit would have been taking would have been through the lens of how your friend would have sought to not necessarily deal with the problem, but how to approach the problem. Your friend would have had agency, is all I'm saying.
Right.
So that is seemingly what happened, is your friend signed a contract with the devil to take on this spirit in exchange for something. Without seeing the contract, I couldn't tell you what, but...
I think Hob curses and says what it is. He says, a curse-wording motorcycle.
That may have been part of it, but...
I know, and also some sort of power and abilities. But
the spirits are not, they're not rare, but they're not common, if that makes sense. You won't, many people go their entire lives without seeing one, but sure. They are around us, operating. But it seems like this devil is interested in stymieing the growing power of Sor Akhtash, much like myself. I ramble. Did you have any specific knowledge that you sought regarding what happened?
Is there any satisfaction to be gained from pursuing vengeance on this singular entity that had manipulated my friend?
No. Not unless you are willing to travel to the various planes that the greater devils reside in and fight them there. Even if you caught one on the material plane, to kill it here, it would return home. Much like that spirit that you fought. It is not gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
It returned.
And that's what Hob knew. Sorry, go ahead.
I would discourage that path of vengeance, but that is what it would look like.
The tornado warning sirens have just been tested in Shawnee, and that is the steam blowing out of Hob's ears right now as he realizes everything is futile and nothing is good. Yay.
I'll not take any more of your time.
Hob, I'm sorry what happened. It's a hard thing.
Because, yeah, man, No, just kidding. Sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so mad.
It is an action I don't wish on anyone. But
here we go.
I understand your grief and pain. I've been there, and I'm sorry.
I suppose I do have to ask one more question. I don't want to are my friends and I now in danger of our own retribution, or acted upon us for stopping this guy. More so them. He can come at me.
I'm going to speak about this the way that they think about it.
Sure.
You damaged a carpenter's hammer.
Understood. He doesn't like it, but he gets it.
And if I think, you need help.
Yeah, that's right.
If you need help, if you need anything, let me know.
I appreciate that. I guess I just need to deal with it for a while.
And if you need help with that, I'm also here.
Yes, I appreciate it. Thank you.
And I think Hob gets up and excuses himself, thanks her again, walks out the door. Didn't kill nearly as much time as I think the player hoped, but...
killed enough time as the producer hoped, because end of episode. Thank you all for listening to a very weird episode of Eberron Renewed. Hope you all enjoyed it from a, you know, consuming a story standpoint, if not from an emotional standpoint.
I've seen the thing these people read in the Discord. They can handle this.
If you want to be part of the conversation, as I'm sure there will be one surrounding this episode, you can head over to our Discord. The link to which is on all of our socials, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter. We also have a YouTube channel, youtube.com/TheGeekPantheon, where I post TTRPG videos there. And Philip is going to plug another thing.
Yeah, we also have a channel called The Laughing Tree, where there's another actual play called Kyber Shards, where I'm the GM and Eric is a player.
We also have a Patreon, patreon.com/thegeekpantheon. If you want to financially support the shows in any way you're able to do so, you can do so over there, or you can buy some merch at thegeekpantheon.com. Thank you all so much for listening. Truly, thank you for listening. I have been your Game Master, Eric.
I'm Philip.
Randy.
I'm Jeff.
We'll see you next time. Please, please come back. We'll see you next time.